Blog Talk Radio. Praise God, praise God. Thank God tonight for just a wonderful night. We thank God for the opportunity to be in his presence once again, to give him honor and the glory and the praise. And we want to thank God for that and for your faithfulness, God. It's your time, God. We thank you for being so faithful, God, when we have been faithless, God. We thank you, God, for being a faithful and true God and the one and true living God that we can trust on, that we can depend on, and we can put our confidence in, our full confidence in you this evening, Father. And for this, God, we give you praise. For this, we give you honor, Father, for it is all due to you. So, God, we just begin to thank you for all that you've done, yet going to do in our lives and already allowed to be manifested in our lives. God, we give you honor, glory, and praise tonight, Father. We just begin to just magnify your name. Someone said, come, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. And we just say, God, you are worthy to be praised. You are truly worthy to be praised. And I give honor tonight for Omega Ministry Minister Jesse Storr and his lovely Queen Evangelist Tammy Storr, the visionaries for this blog. And I thank God, as I share with my wife, that it'll be a very different blog tonight. Conversation will be different than we'll have. It's a dialogue with each other, the building. But it will be the beginning and the end of what we're doing, because God is, as far as mission goes, he wants another direction. And I think that we as a unit and as a group together, those that are in the sound of my voice, know that we have been called to be, in this last time, this evangelistic work that has been set out in us. So now it's time to build, it's time to give. Even now, I'm charging each and every one of us on this line to invite somebody else to this line from here on out and begin to even pour in. You know, those that are on the line begin to pour in and add and build back. It's not just me pulling teeth, you know, you pulling teeth out of me so I can feed, but it's time that we feed each other, because this is the hour, you know, this is the hour that we are in. And it's something about breaking bread. It's something about eating. And we're going to talk about those covenants of sitting down at the table and eating and dining and communion and communicating and all those type of things that to some people it may be offensive what may come out of my mouth tonight, but some of you will understand it because you will have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Oh, God, we just begin to just thank you and praise you and worship you and magnify your name. Oh, we magnify your name. We honor your name. We glorify your name, for you are awesome and you are truly worthy to be praised. The next voice we'll be hearing is none other and my queen, Evangelist Maria Flint. She gave us words of inspiration. Prepare your hearts to receive what the Lord is put in the heart to share with us. Evangelist Flint.
Hello. God bless you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. God bless you. We are so grateful to be here tonight. So excited about what God is doing. And God is saying tonight, God is saying on tonight, one of our needs as human beings is to know who is with us, who believes in me, who's got my back if things go wrong. It's possible to become so caught up in ourselves that we cannot see that God is our back support. Let me share a story from the Bible that I hope will encourage your heart, because I want you to know that you are not alone. I want to bring you to a moment in the life of Moses. Moses was tending to the flock as normal when in the distance he saw a bush. The bush was on fire, but it was not burning down to the ground. He decided to go towards this bush to see this strange sight. When he got there, the Bible says that God called for him within the bush, and Moses answered, "Here I am." You'll see that in Exodus, the third chapter. Now, you must understand that that is the step that so many of us are missing. God calls for us to invite us into his purpose, but because we are so astray from his voice, we do not answer. Moses was told to go and save the Israelites because God had heard their cries. So many of us are crying out to God, and we do not even realize that he has come or that he is sending someone to on our behalf to save us. The beautiful part of this is that Moses is his humility answered God, who am I to go to them and demand this? And the response from the Lord is, what brings me to back support? God said to him, go and I will be with you. I want you to realize that it is not all about you. It is about who is with you. God was Moses' back support as he traveled back to Egypt to get the Israelites to go to the promise. God told Moses, I have your back. I am with you. Tonight, God is saying, I got your back. Trust me, believe me, I got your back. I shared with this with my husband earlier, and I thought this would just be something to encourage him to say, don't worry about anything. God's got your back. And I just want you to be encouraged on tonight to know that there is nothing that you have to worry about. And we know that worrying is a sin. You know, and we are human, and I understand that, but just realize and know that God's got your back. God bless you.
Praise God, praise God. We thank God for giving us some real plenty and that powerful words of inspiration. God's got your back, and oftentimes we do need to be reminded of such, that God does have our back. In the midst of the things that we go through, day-to-day struggles, day-to-day trials and tribulations, it's just beneficial to know that, hey, someone else experienced something of what I'm going through, and they found the source. And so now I find the exact same source, so I tapped into that source, which is God, and he said, hey, I got your back. So we're grateful tonight. We're so very grateful for God and him having our back. But tonight, it's a different night. Lord, I just thank you right now, God. I praise you and I worship you and I magnify your name, Father. We thank you, God, for this day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad. And we thank you, God, for all that you've done, doing, going to do in our lives, God, how you continue to keep us here under the shadow of your almighty wings, God. We begin to just praise your name, Father. The song said, come. Again, God, we begin to thank you. Said, the Holy Spirit said, come. And I hear God telling you tonight, children, come. And so here's where we are right now. We're at a place where God has even changed my life. So Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, God. We praise you right now. We worship you and we magnify your name, Father. We glorify your name, Father. Father, we decrease that you increase, that your Holy Spirit have complete control, God. We begin to just thank you, God, for all that you've done, doing, and yet going to do in our lives. God, we thank you for the instruction, God, the divine instruction. And we thank you, God, for an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying on tonight, Father. We thank you, God, for destroying all the yokes, God, and destroying the things that have hindered us from being all that you would have us to be. Father, we begin to just praise you and worship you and magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Father. And so it is. So here we are. I was saying my wife, a few days ago, God just showed me, and I had to deal with myself. I was starting reading the book of Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah had me in the mindset of repent, return, rebuild. And so that's something we got to look in our lives. You know, even when Solomon said, if my people were to call by my name, but humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. But when we're at that point, I'm saying, even myself, I had to come to a situation or a revelation or an illumination that as often as I went out to minister and I preached and did certain things, I was not, people were like, man, why you ain't go forth or why you not here? And I knew the season, you know, was a decent season for me to preach, and I had a word that God had given me, an in-season word. At times, you know, flew in the prophetic anointing, but God said, son, you were not ready to go where I wanted to take you. And so I had to realize that, and I had to come to the realization that I was not prepared for ministry.
And so when you look at yourself in the mirror and you understand who you are and who you're not, and when you look at what is in you that will hinder you from doing all that God have you to be and to become, and you look at the things that Christ, as he moved and who he fellowshiped with and who he was with the whole time, and if he was here now, who would he be with? And you look at Christ and you'll say he was a friend of the publicans and the sinners. Now, don't get me wrong, because I did that. I did all those different things, but there were certain elements in my life that I didn't understand. And here's the thing. Hustling, I understood, so I did it. So my mindset was that anything that I didn't understand, I would not practice, right? So doing drugs or cocaine and crack and all that, I didn't understand that, so I would not partake in any of those things. I understood drinking alcohol. I understood smoking weed, so I did that. I understood fornication, so I did that. I understood manipulation. And so these are things that I understood, so I partaked in it. You understand? But the things that I did not understand, I did not partake in it. So I did not understand, I do not understand homosexuality, so I will not partake in homosexuality. So here's where I'm at right now. So here's the thing that I just want to explain to you is that this is not a bashing of homosexuals. But I used to be a person that I felt that homosexuality was equated to blasphemy. And I say this because when you practice homosexuality, you're saying to God, or when you go through the transgender operation, you're saying to God that, God, you messed up when you made me. So you're a woman and you think you're supposed to be a man, so you become a man, you become a butch, a dyke, whatever you want to call yourself. So you're saying, God, when you made me a little girl, or you gave me these feminine chromosomes, or whatever you gave me, you know, these feminine genes, or the genetics to be a feminine person, a female, you messed up when you gave me a vagina, and you gave me breasts, God. You supposed to have made me a man. So I felt like that's blasphemy. That's telling the Holy Spirit that you're the most infinite, the most awesome, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and I'm telling you, God, you messed up. Or you're a man with a penis, and you're telling God that I'm supposed to have a vagina, I'm supposed to be a woman. You messed up. So I thought that was blasphemy. So I look at homosexuality, and then God said, okay, George, what's the difference? You know, because they're all sins against the body, homosexuality, fornication, adultery. You got to put them all in the same category. So I said, okay, you're right. I've been a fornicator. I've been an adulteress. Not since I've been letting my wife, but I've been one. I've been one that broke up happy homes, and I took pride in that. So when you look at these things, why? Because I understood being in that life and in darkness and how darkness was and being deceived. And so in being deceived, I turned around and deceived others. So I understood that, and I partaked in that, and I had my short time fun or misery in it. So here's where we are, though. I look at the homosexuals. I look at the transsexuals and all those things, the transgenders. I look at gospel rap when it first came in. The Christian rap, and here's the thing, they both had no home. They both, you know, they both were like nomads, because when the gospel rap first came in, the streets, it was too popcorn for the streets to receive it. But it was too radical for the churches to receive it. So they had no home. You look at most of the homosexuals as young people, young individuals, they on one side, on the second side, they go, you know, they're bullied. They're called queers, they're called faggots, whatever they're called. And on the other side, you come to church, they're up and they're, you know, either manipulated or not given the time. So they have no one to talk to about these emotions and these feelings. And here I am, I've been a hypocrite because I'm a man of God, or say I'm a man of God, but I have not been that one to give an ear to say, hey, what is it that you're feeling? What makes you feel this way? And then take them to the Word of God and show them how God actually feels about it, how God actually equates to this, and bring them to a place. I'm not coming to where they are, but bring them to the place. You know, everybody say, get with the times. This is the new times. The devil is a lie. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not going to change. So I do want to take this time to commend my spiritual, the person who mounts a lot, I'll be receiving, you know, Lord willing, and not other than my natural mother, but also my spiritual mother, my spiritual guide. And I don't want to say spiritual guide, as they said in witchcraft, but this is my spiritual mother, and this is my biological mother. And let me tell you something. This woman started a ministry, and her heart was totally towards God. She had transgenders, homosexuals. She ministered to them, and she ministered to all the hell out of them. She let them come in how they came in, but they did not leave the same way. They left in repentance and saying, what did I do to my body? So this is something that I have to admire, you know, the anointing that was on my life. Tonight, I just want to give honor to the woman of God that actually in that midst. And then all of that, when I started the gospel rap era, the ministry and the managing and the record label, in my absence, she started these young guys in her church. She had to give them something to do. So, yeah, y'all like rapping. Okay, well, you're going to rap for God, and I'm going to create venues for you to do it. So I come home, and I get right in the midst of it. But she started, she had a heart for it. She had a heart for souls and what it took to win souls. And, you know, he that win souls, they say, is wise. And so God is saying now tonight, this is the reason why I called you to be evangelists. This is the reason why I called you to evangelize my world at the end times. Now, we've heard in Timothy where Paul said, perilous times will come, and we have people talking about the last days. And so if that was 2,000-3,000 years ago, and they're talking about the last days and these are the times, then what? Now, how closer are we to the end of times? So here's the thing we got to look at. The topic is there blood on my hands? And if I answer that question, and if you answer the question, I don't know how you would answer, but I answer truthfully, yes. It's because I got loved ones that if I don't tell them about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, hell can be that destination. I got family members that have been homosexuals. I got family members that's on drugs. I mean, you got neighbors. How many people that you walk around today that you knew were lost or were in need of a Savior, and you didn't even share your God with them? And then ask yourself this question. Is that blood on your hands? See, that's what I am tonight. Is this blood on my hands? Because I got people that I know that are fornicating. I got people I know that are cussing. I got people I know that's drinking, smoking, robbing, killing, stealing, whatever they're doing. I know people that's doing that. I know people that's in that lifestyle. I've been in that lifestyle. It said in Psalms 1, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scornful. Well, I've done all those things. I walked in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm being truthful. And if you be truthful tonight, then you walked in the counsel of the ungodly as well, and you stood in the way of the sinners as well, and you sat in the seat of the scornful as well. Some of you truthfully still doing it. I'm being transparent tonight. I'm not perfect. But I do have my shortcomings. But God, the psalmist said, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But he's dealing with me. He's preparing me. He's pruning me. He's cutting things away in me. See, here's the thing with me is that, you know, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we look at those things, and we look at the other God, the natural man, which is Jacob. And we look at that, and we look at the natural man, and I look at myself, and I equate myself to a Jacob, because the Father told me that 2 days ago, he said, George, you don't truly trust me. See, I'm trying to tell you something tonight. It's about trusting him. He said, you don't truly trust me. And I mean, what do you mean, God? He said, because you trust me with your home. You trust me with your car. You trust me with your finance. You trust me with these things that are temporary, these things that will burn up. But the things that are eternal, your mother, your siblings, your wife, your children, you don't trust me with them. You don't even trust me with you, because he said, you don't trust me with the eternal things, but you trust me with these things that are rubbish, these things that are chaff like the wind. But I'm telling you to trust me with Maria, trust me with Takiya, trust me with Anthony, trust me with Rosa, trust me with Sarah. Begin to trust me. This is a night of elevation tonight, because tonight you won't leave to the same if you truly love God. You know, you say it. He said, yeah, you say it with your lip service, but you know, your heart is so far away from me. And even 4:23 tells you that, you know, guard your heart, because in that forms the issues of life. And so we deal with the issues of life tonight. And I was talking to my brother, and he was like, my brother, I said, I met him today, and he was like, what you going to do, man? Are you doing ministry? Because don't put on my heart chains about it if you're not going to fully go, because people need this. They're ready for this now, and you got to have yourself together. And so I told him, I said, man, I've been ready to go. But here's the thing with me is that I have some things that I had going on because, like, in trusting God, I was trusting myself. I was listening to some other voices. And so I can't say I was all the way with him because here's what God said. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not listen to. But I've been listening to some strange voices, ladies and gentlemen. I'm listening to the voice of George. I'm listening to the voice of, and you ask yourself, you've been doing the same thing. What voice have you been listening to when the doctor tell you that a bad report? What voice do you really listen to? First thing going to your psyche is that your heart leaking, you're diabetic, or you got high blood pressure, or you're sugar, and then you listen to that, and you let that, then you meditate on that. And so to meditate on what the Word of God said when he said, I'm the balm in Gilead. See, there's a thing that we're looking at. So is it blood on my hands? Yes, it's blood on my hands. Turn me real quick to Ezekiel 33, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Lord, I thank you. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 11. We're going to stay in Ezekiel 4 minutes tonight and some other things. So here we go. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from that territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows a trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, but the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon him, upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. For you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yeah, how many of you know that? So when we talk about the fornicators, we talk about the homosexuals, we talk about the adulterers, we talk about the gamblers, we talk about the naysayers, we talk about the gluttons. He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So the first thing we said, we're going to repent. So we repent tonight, Father. Heavenly Father, we ask for forgiveness, God. For anything that we said, done, or thought that was against your will, that was against your way, that has grieved your Holy Spirit in any such way that has hindered us from moving forward in any way that has been your will. And Father, we're at the point where, here's what God said to me, and I'm just going to say what he said to me. And he said, George Flint, stop parading around in your body as if you are the source of life that flows in that body. See, stop moving around today like you're the one that makes, like you're the source of life in that body. Your body don't belong to you, but you do have a free will, and that free will can get you, can pay you to go to hell. They say the wages of sin is death. It can pay you to go to hell. That same free will. So hear what God is saying. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Tonight, God, we don't plan to die. We want to live. You said you command us to live, and yet you saw us again, and you commanded us to live, Father. So we choose to live and not die and glorify your name, Father. We come to glorify your name, praise your name, magnify your name, honor your name. So, Father, as we begin to move forward in you and in your plan and in your purpose for our lives, God, we give you honor tonight, Father. We give you honor as we go into the next part of as returning, God. We return our hearts to you, God. Oh, and again, is there blood on my hands? If I continue to be the watchman that you called me to be, and I use my name as Shomer, Shomer is Hebrew for watchman. And so if I'm supposed to be the watchman, God, and I don't blow the horn, or I don't blow the trumpet or sound the alarm, God, when I see the lost being around me, if I see the young people, God, that are lost, young children, man, even by watching, we saw the news the other day, the TV the other day, Dwayne Wade has a son that's 11 years of age, and the young man said he's a homosexual. I'm gay, quote unquote. And his dad took him, you know, his dad at a game, so his wife, which is Gabrielle Union, took him to the Pride Parade. So my thing is, at 11 years of age, what makes you formulate that in your head that I'm a homosexual? Have you had sex with a man at 11 years old? Have you had sex with a woman at 11? How do you know the difference? How do you know what makes you a homosexual? But this is the media. This is what Disney is putting out. This is what Netflix is putting out. These are the things that we have to counter, because this is what Hollywood is putting out. And this is, you know, we got children dealing with satanic ritual abuse. We got a lot of things that are going on in life that has nothing that pertains to life, holiness, and righteousness. And so these are the things we have to deal with in an aggressive manner. It said the righteous suffer violence after the violent take it by force. How long will you sit there and you sleep and slumber? And if you've been awakened, you know, and how are you going to sit there and on the sidelines and be a fan and not get in the game when you see these people dying and going to hell? Every time you turn on the news, it's some bad news. Somebody got shot, somebody this, somebody that. And then, not to take away from the young man, that the rapper who was assassinated or was murdered, named Nipsey Hussle, but why glorify him and not glorify your God? You got some people say, I watch this, and I follow this, and I follow that, and I study this. And it had nothing to do with righteousness or holiness or getting you to the gates, you know. And that's what he said, I'm the gate. Listen, the sin that we have condoned and the sin that we live in, see, here's where we are. We've gotten to the point where we want to say that we have tolerance, but our tolerance has gotten past compassion. Yeah, Jesus was moved by compassion and he healed the woman with the issue of blood. He said, go and sin no more. The woman with the adultery, that was caught in adultery. You know, he began to move that because he was moved by compassion. But we said we just have tolerance, so I can tolerate this spirit. How long will you continue to tolerate the spirit of confusion and the spirit of error and give it an excuse saying, I don't condemn, but I don't condone? But it's time to deal with it. It's trying to cast out spirits. He said, I gave you the power to cast out unclean spirits. So why don't you use that power that has been given unto you to bring forth deliverance? It's time to return. It's time to return to him. And now it's time to rebuild. You said you're a kingdom builder. It's time to rebuild. So here's where we are tonight. Why do we have, I have a question I want to ask him, and you get a chance, somebody can answer, press one, but why do we have such an apathetic spirit towards this, as if there's no hope? There's no hope for tomorrow. There's no hope for this generation. There's no hope for life. That's I just move on like existing from day to day and not like I'm in the land of the living. And what's the difference between compassion and tolerance? And when is there a break point? See, tonight I had to hear the voice of God to speak to you tonight as I'm speaking to myself. See, I had to return myself to be a sheep and understand that the most important thing that God has given me tonight is a voice to hear. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So that made David be a sheep. He said, he led me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leaded me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me ask you this. Has God laid you down beside the still waters? Are you at peace right now or are you in turmoil right now? Because in Isaiah it said, there's no peace for the wicked. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? And some of these things, like, here's what we are. He said in Isaiah 55:1, watch this. This is going to bless you. Isaiah 55:1 tells you that, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you will have no money. Come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And we're talking about covenants tonight. And talking about covenants, we talk about the things with food and drink, all the covenants. That's why we had the term, come on, let's break bread together. And so we look at the food and eat the drink, and then I'm looking at the thing, do you think it's strange that what Satan has his disciples drinking blood and eating all kind of different things for human flesh and their satanic rituals? See, because he understands that that's a covenant. But God is telling you, when Christ said it, people thought it was crazy when they said, hey, take, eat this bread and drink of this cup and this, do this in remembrance of me. But Satan knows the covenant. So sometimes we got to be careful and mindful of the strange food that you sit down at the table and eat, whether it's spiritual or physical. It's either drinking or eating combined to it. So here God said, hey, ho, you hungry? You thirsty? Come and do this where it doesn't even take you any money. And then he told the woman, the Samaritan woman, he said, hey, anyone that drinks from this well would never thirst again. How many want to just drink some of that water from God where you never thirst again? Can we just begin to focus on never thirsting again? Can we begin to focus on the fact that he gives you an invitation to abundant life in Isaiah 55:1? Can we begin to focus on the river of life and the fruit of God? I just want to talk about some things tonight, just on the fruit of who he is. We talk about the fruit. We go in Galatians and we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to talk about what is fruit. Can I ask Webster about it, my good friend? And he said, what's that for example? There we go. It's like fruit, George. It's a sweet and fleshy product of a tree or other plant that contains seed and can be eaten as food. And then you look in Genesis 1:29, right? I'm trying to help somebody tonight because this helped me. And I was broken. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. See, we look at different things that we eat, and it's strange, right? But did you think Adam and Eve had macaroni and cheese and fried chicken and ham hocks or the dressing? Do you think God gave them that? But he said, I gave you fruit for food, and these leaves are for healing. And we look at it in Ezekiel. We look at it in Revelation, and we wonder why. Our body. He said, I gave you leaves for healing, but why do I take penicillin in, and why am I taking these antibiotics for healing when God said, hey, this is not what God has ordained for me? These things don't even naturally go inside my body. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. So it's time to get back to what God said. It's time to get back to nature, get back to who he is and what he designed from the beginning. He said, if we go to Revelations, give me 1 second. Let's go to Revelation 22:1. Let's go to look at John 4:10. Let's look at Revelation 22:1. Just want to give you just some simple scriptures that you can just keep for yourself. But look at Revelation 22:1. Look at Joel 3:18. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And he said, in the middle of his street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Look at this, the river of life. We're talking about the waters that he has for us. And he talked about it again in Ezekiel, but he's saying that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. He said the fruits, he said it was 12 fruits, you know what I mean? And so you look at these things and you look at it, why am I not bearing fruit and why is my fruit not remaining and what is going on with me? And so this is what God is saying. We don't listen, we don't hear, we're not sheep, we don't listen to the shepherd, we listen to strange voices, we maneuver how we want to maneuver. And then on top of that, instead of each one teach one or each one reach one, we have become so selfish and not selfless, thinking that we got plush churches, the mega churches. We got the plush seats. We don't want to go play in the dirt. We don't want because you know we don't like dirt. We want to be in the plush churches. We want to hear the plush seats. We got the itching ears. Well, you know, so we got pastor to preach to our ears because they don't want to offend the gospel. They don't want to offend you with the gospel. So they won't even give you the truth. So, but we are truth seekers. Where are the truth seekers? Where are the true believers of God tonight? If you're here to stand up and be counted. See, that's why I had to go. I had to get to a point tonight, like I told you, like I'm going to tell my wife, that I trust the Lord, you know? And I can't keep doing the blog or do any other ministry half-hearted or fake and not give it to him. And I know that I've had my times where I have not fully trusted God, and I've allowed doubt, and I've allowed fear, and I've allowed misunderstandings to take place. And I'm not saying it won't continue, but I'm trying to tell you that I'm making that sound decision to do what thus saith the Lord and preach what thus saith the Lord and move how he's saying to move. I'm telling you now, it's time to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying now, now is the time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of deliverance. Now is the time of sanctification. Now is the time of separation. Now is the time to draw the line. If God be God, choose Baal. I mean, choose God. If Baal be God, choose Baal. God said he got to know who Balaam is, who Dagon is, who Belial is, and who Beelzebub is. And you got to know who God is. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright and morning star, the balm in Gilead. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. And if you choose me, know what you're choosing. Count up your cost. Count up the cost tonight. Before you say, Lord, I choose you. And we're talking about the food you eat. Yeah, like I said, certain restaurants, you got to be careful because you don't know what food has been sacrificed to idols. We talk about covenants. Like I just said, every covenant includes a form of eating or drinking, either physically or spiritually. That's why we always get to turn and break bread together. But that's why we must be mindful, even from the spiritual table that we sit and dine at. We got to be mindful who you allow to lay hands on you. You got to be mindful who you tell what's going on in your life and say, I need you to be my prayer partner. I want you to touch and agree with me on this. You got to be mindful. You got to ask God to give me discernment. God, give me the spirit of discernment. And here's what we got to do also. We can't continue to move so fast without hearing from God, getting the counsel of God. I heard a man want to preach about Gideon. And when Gideon went to pull down the Tower of Baal and pull down the strongholds, but he went to get in the presence of God first. When David wanted to get instructions from God, he went and got his presence of God first. And I'm going to tell you how sensitive the voice of God is. At one point, how you can hear a strange voice, that when Samuel was being called by God, Samuel didn't even know. He said it was a time when the voice of God was so tender. Samuel didn't even know it was God's voice. When God said, hey, Samuel, get up. He thought it was Eli. And Eli said, go back next time and say, speak, Father, for your servant listens. So here's the thing about it. So do you see how we can hear a different voice so easily, so clearly? Even when these mass murders take place and the psychopaths, they were saying, I heard something, it was these voices that was in my head. See, you got to understand, how do I deal with these strange voices? Even the people that are saying that I have multiple personalities, these MK Ultras and all these things that's going on that we're looking at, they're saying that that mass murder, that just wasn't natural. And it's not natural, but God's saying that I'm operating you in the supernatural, that you can see what's going on ahead of time. You can bind it hand and foot, and you can cast it in out of darkness. I gave you the power to cast down vain imagination. I gave you the power to pull down strongholds. Why are you sitting on the anointing that is in your life, that is on your life, that is upon your life? Yet you say you love me, but you operate in the spirit of rebellion. You operate in the spirit of witchcraft. You operate in the spirit of disobedience. Yet you say you love me. And here's what God is saying tonight. The tolerance level of God is getting cut short. Because you got to realize if he didn't allow the women, the foolish women, you know, because they went to sleep, he didn't allow them in because they didn't have their oil together. Just so simple as not having enough oil when the bridegroom was coming. And they didn't able to get in. Just imagine how you live your life so vicariously, how you've been living your life so in debauchery. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm not speaking to nobody else. I don't know what you're doing. But you know, you're living your life in such a manner, in such a way, you think those gates are going to be open? Do you think those doors will be open? I think not. We can talk about these sexual sins. You can look in Proverbs 5. You can see what he's talking about towards the how these sexual sins lead to STDs and unwanted pregnancy. We wonder why. And we talk about abortions. Me and my wife, we were talking about them. I'm trying to tell you the things you eat. Listen, don't you know, like, Fanta sodas, your Doritos, your Nestle's, a lot of these things have been flavored with aborted fetuses, aborted baby fetuses. And it's documented, and I can send it to you. You can say, George, Maria, send me the information, give Maria your email. I can get everything to you that you can see it for yourself. But a lot of these things that you eat, a lot of things that you consume, the water you drink, has been formulated and has been and by the organs of aborted baby fetuses. You looked at the movie, you saw a movie the other night, my wife and myself, called Unplanned. When you get a chance, you probably want to check it out. And it's about Planned Parenthood, and they show the abortions. And they were even doing abortions up to 24 weeks of pregnancy. That's straight murder, people. And I'm trying to tell you, and here's what God's saying, but you love me, but you will go and have the abortions. And it was what happened is that they had two tubes. The man came out, he had a big old tube. And I know it had all the water, and it was like, man, can we pray over that? It was a big container, like two big containers. And he was like, I'm just a driver. I just take this where it's supposed to go. Tell me, where would you take all that aborted fetus? You know, where is it going? We just continue to sit on the sideline. California is making a law that you can't even preach. If you're getting paid to do an event and people are coming in, and they have, even if you're in the pulpit, if you're a pastor, you get paid. And someone is in your congregation that's a homosexual, you can't even preach deliverance to them. Even if they desire deliverance, you can't preach it to them. I'm telling you, how long are you going to sit by on the sideline and let this happen? See, I've been there. Again, I tell you, I've been the one that returned to his bond. My life was a throwback, ladies and gentlemen. And I went back. Why? Because I lacked long suffering. Why? Because I did not hear the voice of God. I did not adhere to the voice of God. I did not hearken to the voice of God. And I no longer trusted God at the time to handle all my needs. Even Jacob, when he went to meet Esau, he said all this stuff in front of him, sent his kids in front of him, and all those things in the form of trusting God. But in behind, he still had a backup plan. Even Abraham, when he took his wife's handmaiden, and that's why you get Ishmael, and that's why you get the Ishmaelites, because he feel like you got to help God out. And I'm telling you tonight that when you trust God, you don't have to help God. Is there blood on my hands? Yes, there's blood on my hands. Sometimes you don't even want to rebuke your own siblings. You don't want to rebuke your own children. You don't want to tell them that homosexuality. You don't want to tell them that being a whore is wrong. You can't continue to get body counts. You can't keep sleeping with everybody. You don't want to tell them, because guess what? Tithes is an offering. Walk out the door when you begin to speak the truth. You can't even tell them that, man. You can't continue to snort cocaine and think it's going to be all right. Or you can't continue to drink your alcohol and think it's going to be all right. And you can't continue to manipulate women and think it's going to be all right. You can't continue to be evil to your husband and think it's going to be all right. Or you can't continue to disrespect your mother and think it's going to be all right. If I said, honor your mother and father, so your days may be long. So you can't continue to live a life of a like a hellion. I think it's going to be okay. But we don't want to say that. The hour has come. The hour has come. Well, people are seeking the truth. And they say that the hour has come that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm saying tonight, you got to worship God in spirit and in truth. George said, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. Draw the sand, draw a line in the sand, say enough is enough. Father, we trust you. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We yield ourselves to you, God, to be used by you, to be utilized by you in a way only that you can deal with us. Rivers of living water, the fruit for your eating, the leaves for your healing, deliverance at your table, at your door. The ministry of reconciliation, be a part of it. But you reconcile yourself with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit first. And then you can help others. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Let them know. A wicked man in your way, return to God. A righteous man, if he falls short, let them know that, amen. Even though you've been righteous, even though you've done so many right things in your past, and you've gone this way, thus saith the Lord. Line yourself back up with the will of God. Repent and be forgiven. Ask for forgiveness and watch God move. And begin to pray for those leaders. Begin to pray for those ministers that are not praying, not preaching the real gospel, that has come in with an antichrist agenda and antichrist motives and antichrist mindset. Pray for them right now. Pray for them with secret societies and their systems. But don't pray for the system. But pray for those that are caught in the system. You hear me? I said this in love, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. Father, we don't want to continue to move with blood on our hands, Father, but we want to be loved by you, used by you, utilized by you, God, for your glory, God, for your glory, God. Not for us, not for our agenda, not for our motives, but for your glory. Father, we learn how to surrender our will for you, God, and give us a heart, God, and a mind to trust you even the more so, God. God, so that we will have fruits and our fruit will remain, Father. Oh, God, we give you honor tonight. We give you glory. We give you praise. Yes, in Jesus' name we pray. And so it is. Learn to trust him. Anybody want to say anything, you add to, take away, you press 1. I can recognize you. And we'll go from there. Your mic is open.
Aunt Sam, I enjoyed this service very much. Oh, it just chills in my body. And I just want you to continue to pray for me and heal my body, for God to heal my body. I thank you for everything. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I love you all, and I thank you, and I praise his holy name. So long.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God for your And we praise God for you tonight. We pray for the body, for your body right now, for God to heal your body. And God said, your body is here's what people understand. Your body naturally heals itself. But we continue to put different things in it, different foreign things that the body is rejecting. The body is not compatible for the body. And that's why he said, I gave you leaves for healing. So we got to understand that. And we got to get to the rivers of living water. I'm going to give you these different scriptures right now as I'm able to. You got John 7:37. You got Ezekiel 47. You got John 4:10. Isaiah 33:21. You got Joel 3:18. And they begin to tell you about the rivers of living water. They begin to tell you about the healing. Everybody begin to tell you how God said that everything that with those waters, how it's on the street, everything was alive. Everything was alive. He said that Ezekiel, as he began to walk, at one time the water was ankle high. Then it began to get knee high. Then it began to waist high. But everything was living that was in the presence. And right now we speak for your life and your body. Every mortal part of your body from the crown to the very soul, you're for you to become alive and well and even restored. We pray for the restoration. Even as Naaman bathed in the Jordan, in the Jordan River 7 times and came up. And in his body, they said his skin was like baby skin. He didn't get old man refreshed skin, but he got the skin so renewed that it was like a baby skin when it came out. And I'm saying that speaking the same thing over your body right now and everyone else under the sound of my voice. Restoration and renewal now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you for it. 6447, your mic is open. This is going to be tough.
Praise God, Pastor. I just want to say that your message tonight was so profound, and God has used you to give us something to think about, to do self-inventory of ourselves to see, am I really where I think I am with the Lord? Am I being obedient to him? According to, do I know enough of his word to keep me? Am I going according to my own ways, my own thoughts? But we have to think of, had it not been for him, where would we be today? Had it not been for him, what would our life be today? And I thank you for stirring up on the inside those of us that want to get closer, that want to know him better, that want to make sure everything in our life is going according to his ways, to his will, and to his word. And I thank God for using you to bring those things out. You know, we can't push things up under the carpet, you know, just hide it in the closet or whatever. But this is the time of facing ourselves, facing who we are in God, facing are we where we need to be in God. In the northern western countries, they're having blizzards. here it is in the spring of the year. Then God has opened up the dark hole, the black hole. They've been talking about that for years and years and years and years. And now God is letting it be prevalent. What does that mean? We need to think more seriously about our life with God. I mean, stop letting one day go into another day and into another day, and we still have not moved anywhere closer to God than we were on that first day. I thank God for you, Neil. I thank God for stirring us up in Jesus' name. And we can walk in his healing. He's still doing miracles. Hashikodamahaya. And we're going to thank him and praise him. Yesterday, the Lord said, love on me today. Praise me. Sing songs to me. Do we do that? Instead of just asking God and ask, he wants us to shower him with love that he has placed in for him and for ourselves and for others. God bless you. This is a learning lesson tonight, and I hope we'll all pay heed to it in Jesus' name. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you. God bless you. And praise God for the illumination of the word and the light, man, that you put on it. And we just thank God for you. We thank God for your grace and the anointing that's on your life and the authority and your ministerial gifts and all that he has placed inside of you. That you won't retire, but you will refire. And we give you the honor, glory, and the praise. And we'll get to know God more and more and increasing our prayer life even more so. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to add to, take away, want to share with us what the Spirit of the Lord is saying tonight? You know, we said, he said, have them, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So anybody want to add to and share what the Lord is saying? Press 1, I can recognize you. If not, the next voice we'll be hearing will be none other than my queen, Evangelist Maria Flint, give us the benediction. So I just want to add to what the Lord is saying to you. If he spoke to you at all tonight, if he, you know, you don't agree with the message, whatever. If not, then this voice should hear me none other than you guys some real plan, giving us the benediction. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. I tell you what, it gets better and better and better and better and better and better every Thursday. Thank God for the messenger. We just thank God for this word. And we just want to pray for Pastor Flint that God would infuse him and restore him for everything that he poured out. God, I ask that you put it right back in even the more. And we just thank God. We thank God for each and every one of you that were here on tonight. We hope that this word was able to stir something up in you. And we're just so grateful. God is so, so, so good. He keeps doing great things for me. So on tonight, we're just going to dismiss and we ask that God, you protect and keep each and every person. God, we just ask that your angels are encamped around each and every person, their household, their families, Lord. We ask that you just be with them, guide them, direct them, and lead them, Lord God, throughout this week, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you are so awesome and so wonderful, God. We thank you for the victory, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are a victorious people because we are your heirs, God. We just thank you right now for your Holy Spirit falling down on us, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, for your healing, your blessings, your miracles, God. We just thank you, God. And I'm crazy enough to believe and know that you are doing even more for us, God, because I am taking off the chains, Lord God. The chains are broken off of my life, Lord God, and I ask that you break every chain off of each and every person's life here, Lord God, and I just thank you right now for what you're doing, God. I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come forth, Lord. I just thank you right now, God, for the miracles that you're performing right now, even as we are praying, God. I thank you right now that you're doing something for somebody right now, Lord God, that is in need of you. God, I don't know who it is that needs a special gift from you, Lord God, but I thank you right now that you're performing and you're doing it right now, Lord God. It's not going to take 24 hours or 24 days, God, but we thank you for 24 hours, Lord God, for the blessing to come upon that person in Jesus' name. And we're saying that tonight, you guys have a great night. Well, I'm going to benedict, but Pastor Flint said he has something else to say. So good night. We love you. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it, but I'm going to pass it back over to Pastor Flint, and then you'll be dismissed in Jesus' name.
I'm sorry, I won't be before you long. It's been laid on my heart to have a thought on myself, my wife. I'm going to do a seven-day fruit fast. We're dealing with the fruit. We're dealing with the root of the fruit, the mystery of the fruit, and who God is, and all the different things. And so I'm going to go on a seven-day fruit fast and look at the healing. Let's look at Genesis 2:8-9. It says, then the Lord God planted the garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, then he looked at it and said that Lord God warned him, you may eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But so it's something about that tree, it's something about the fruit that's on that tree that brings healing, that gives life. And I'm watching that death wasn't made for us. And if Adam would have only ate from that one tree, he'll still be living right now today, because that's the life. That's the life. And I'm telling you tonight, that's where I am. And if you want to join me on it, and I will have awesome testimonies from it, you'll just see what God will begin to do. And I just said that in love. I said that in love with those that feel that that's a need. And you may desire to join me in it. And if you don't understand, but this is what God has me. And if you do say, Tasha, yeah, I'm going to join you with the fruit fast, I'll be great to have you there with me. And that's where we are tonight. And that's what I just want to share in love that God has got me on this 7-day fruit fast beginning on Monday. And here's a prayer, and I pray for those that are going through anything. Song of Solomon 4:16, you read that, but they say, Heavenly Father, transplant your tree of favor into the center of the destiny's garden of everyone under the sound of my voice. No second chance. This season of glad tidings, this season of your divine presence, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. And so it is. God bless you. I love you. Nothing you can do about it. I'll see you next Thursday.